Today is Christ the King Sunday, or the Reign of Christ Sunday. It's the last Sunday of the liturgical year, if you follow that kind of thing. It is because we kick off the new year, as it seems fitting, with the anticipation of the birth of Christ. And so the last Sunday of the year is Christ the King Sunday. And next Sunday, we begin year C of the liturgical calendar, if you like to follow along. I wonder if I ask you, actually I am asking you, what you think of as a king. What would you say are characteristics of a king?
Leader.
Imperious.
Benevolence.
Majestic. Decision maker. You all are giving the church answers.
Compassion.
Aren't you? Compassionate.
Leadership.
Compassion. Say that one more time. Lonely.
Yeah.
Lonely at the top. In 1 Samuel, we read 2 Samuel, but in the first part of Samuel, the people cried out for a king. Give us a king. They're in a land that is promised them, and they've been watched over and led by a series of judges, some of whom have been better than others. And now terror is rising within them as the forces of the world are bearing down. And they cry out to Samuel, give us a king. Give us a king. Samuel isn't interested. Samuel reminds them that earthly kings are not what they want, but they demand it. They want a king to go out and fight their battles and to take care of them. So perhaps you see a king as someone who fights your battles, or who takes care of you, or who is benevolent, or who is compassionate. But I'm afraid I've read too many books and I've watched too many TV shows, and that's not how I think of a king. I think of a king as being power hungry, out for themselves, taking money from people and living high on the hog when the other people are starving and are struggling. I'm sorry to say, I even think about David as a king. And when he saw what he wanted, he did whatever he felt necessary to get it, even if it meant killing someone. Does anyone else think of a king that way? Hannah watches the same shows I do. I have a sister-in-law who is from England. While now she's a U.S. citizen, she has tremendous amount of love and faith in the monarchy of the United Kingdom. She has pictures all around her house throughout her lifetime. She just has these warm, loving feelings about them. Not that their kingdom is the same. You know, their king or queen is the head of the church, not so much the country. But it has opened my eyes a little bit to a different kind of king. But I think for most of us in this country, especially in this time, when we think about kings around this world, we think about them puffed up and important. You know what I mean? I'm not going to pledge my allegiance to someone like that. We live in a democracy, And so here in the United States, we don't think that anyone really has control over us, do we? We can't even get behind a president, no matter who it is. There are always people who don't like them or who believe that they're not doing the right thing. So I feel like when we think about Jesus as king, we think about Jesus a little differently. And we get in our head and we think, yeah, Jesus is king. Christ is king. But deep, deep down, we have this thought that, well, I have my own autonomy, my own independence. I'm grateful that Jesus is Lord as long as he doesn't actually demand anything significant or sacrificial allegiance. As long as I can stay in control of my time, my energy, and my money, then Jesus can be king. Is there a little bit of truth in that? As long as you stay out of my business. So what does Christ as King really mean? David Lose, one of my favorite writers, says this, or answers the question like this. I think Jesus as King means that Jesus is King, whether we like it or not, whether we acknowledge it or not, whether we attach any significance to it or not. And that may feel like rather bad news if we're intent on being kings and queens ourselves. Or perhaps, to put it more succinctly, if we're intent on doing whatever we want, whenever we want, with whatever we happen to have. But it's also good news if we've realized that we're not in control, that we don't have it all together and don't have to. It's good news if we've realized that our lives are fraught with an unnerving uncertainty that we try to keep at bay, especially and ironically during this season where we prepare to celebrate the birth of Christ through overconsumption. Then the word that God is God and we are not, that Jesus is King, that there is something, someone beyond our abilities to create or control, well, then that is incredibly good news. That says a lot to me. Do I want to be the king of my kingdom? And is there a constant struggle inside of me about the steps that I take and that I walk each day? Are there days where I'm willing to turn it all over and then days when I want to take it back? Of course there are. We read the psalm today. David searching for a place to put the Lord. Where do we put him? I'm not going to sleep. I'm not going to eat. I'm not going to go on with my life until I find a place to put the Lord. Do I build a temple to worship? I asked Alana to send me the poem written about this psalm from the book that she read from last week. It's called Fingerprints on Every Moment. And you can't find that book anywhere. I looked all week trying to get a copy of it. So Alana sent me a copy of this page. And this is what the writer has to say about David in this chapter. David had it backwards. He didn't need to build a house for you. You wanted to build a house inside of him. Others through the years misunderstood as David did. Peter at Mount Transfiguration, St. Francis at San Demonio, and Jerry in the contemporary world. You are renovating my interior, remaking me from the inside out. My concern for doing even good and holy things in the outside world distracts me from the first work you have initiated within me, in my soul's interior. This is my own great reversal, the shift in consciousness to which I open myself daily as you rebuild a life of meaning within me. A house where you dwell that becomes a home of peace for the world. Such beautiful words. What a beautiful picture for me of the kingdom of Christ. The kingdom of Christ is me. Is me. It's not out there somewhere. I don't need to search for it or build a temple to hold it. The kingdom is right here inside of me, inside each one of you. And the very best part, Christ is the king of that kingdom. Really, whether I like it or not, but if this kingdom is to be a kingdom of peace and contentment, then I need to recognize the King of all kings. I need to allow the King of kings to work inside of me, to make me the person I need to be. I need to honor this kingdom. I need to take care of this kingdom. And then, and only then, will the kingdom of Christ reign in me and reign through me and allow me as a child of God to make a difference in this world. To make a place where others can recognize the kingdom within themselves. When we turn over that control, then the words from our 2 Samuel reading become real. The Spirit of the Lord speaks through me, His words upon my tongue, like the light in the morning, like the sunrise on a cloudless morning, gleaming from the rain on grassy lands. Isn't that a wonderful way to think about this kingdom created inside of us? May you relinquish the kingdom within you to Christ Jesus, who came to this earth to be the King of kings, the Lord of lords, and who wishes to dwell inside you today and forevermore. Amen and amen.